Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas here. It's The Grapevine at SaverLife.com. And as always, Gene Pierce from Glenora Wine Cellars posts his Glenora Gazette, which he's been doing since April 13th, 1994, every Sunday, maybe one Sunday a year when he's out of town. It doesn't get posted, but pretty much every Sunday for all these years, he's been posting his Gazette. It's free. You can go online and sign up at glenora.com. And it was talking a little in this Gazette about the weather and the harvest. And he says the very dry, mild drought conditions continue in many of the Finger Lakes vineyards. Impacts begin to show in the vines, tendrils drying up and leaves curling. It's a time of the year when the game of vineyard versus winery tug of war starts. On the one side, the vineyards, the growers, want to harvest the grapes to reduce the stress on the vines. On the other side, the wineries, the winemakers, want to leave the grapes on the vines to increase sugars, reduce acids. While leaving the grapes on the vines does benefit the wineries, it has the potential to weaken the vine as it prepares for winter and next year's crop. The wine is like any mother. Will take care of, feed with nutrients and water its children, the grape clusters, before doing the same for itself, hence the weakening of the vine. And that's one of the best descriptions I've seen of that relationship. It really, it brings it to life to think of it that way. And he also says, while the vines may be stressed, the winemakers are less so, as the dry conditions during the growing season have reduced disease pressure. Grapes are being harvested in these dry conditions, and harvest schedules at the winery are easily maintained. And he says, if you see a winemaker looking stressed this year, it's most likely due to either being included or excluded from the winemaker pinup calendar that has been recently released. There's a you can pre-order, because they're not printed yet, but you can pre-order a calendar of Finger Lakes winemakers. In fascinating poses, they've been, if you follow Kelby James Russell, you can see some of the outtakes from that calendar. He's been posting a few of those. And it looks like the winemakers, men and women, had a lot of fun doing this. And it's a fundraiser for coronavirus relief. And you can order one of these calendars. I can send you the link if you like. Send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. And also, you ought to follow Kelby James Russell on Facebook anyway to see what he's up to. Among a number of winemakers, seem to be very excited about the fruit that are coming in for the 2020 vintage. So 2020 may be one of the just downright awful years of our lifetimes. But the grapes didn't get that message, and it looks like perhaps some really, really nice grapes and nice quantity. Gene Pierce says as of this past Friday, 190.1 tons of grapes have been crushed there at Glenora, which is a lot of grapes. They are one of the bigger wineries. Last year at this time, it was 191.4, so virtually the same amount. And he says the coming week, they plan to bring in Riesling, Chardonnay, Muscat, Dishonac, Arundel, which is one of the newest varieties from Geneva Experiment Station, Saperavi, and Gewürztraminer. So it's harvest is in full swing throughout our region. And you can try some of these grapes. I think I talked about it quite a bit last weekend. You can listen to last week's show here on the website. But you can get many of these juices at Randall Standish or at Fulkerson. Randall Standish, just north of Naples on Route 21. Fulkerson is on the west side of Seneca Lake, just south of Glenora, maybe half a mile south of Glenora, very close. So if you want to drink some of these juices, as I do, or if you want to make some wine, both of these places have the equipment for sale. You can buy a carboy from them and have them fill it, have them put in the bubbler, put in the yeast. You can go home, all set up. Just leave that in a cool, maybe a rather dark place in the basement, and you will have a working wine cellar. And it's not that expensive. If you're buying, as I've said before, hybrid fruit, maybe the Dishonac, maybe Cayuga, something like that, rather than Riesling or Chardonnay, the fruit's going to be pretty inexpensive. And for the difference in the price, you can get the equipment, pretty much. Maybe even several times over, a huge difference in price. Not several times over. It would probably just about pay for the equipment, the difference between getting let's say Cayuga and Chardonnay. You're going to save about $10 a gallon. That's a five gallon carboy, so you save $50 difference in the price of the juice for those two grapes. So if you want to experiment with your own winemaking, the worst that can happen is you could make vinegar. But actually the worst that could happen is the carboy could explode. That's why you put the bubbler on it, and the gases can escape while it's fermenting. Both of those wineries have the acidities, the pH, the residual sugar levels, the bricks, the sugar levels of the juice. That helps to calibrate, how you might treat this juice. They can, depending on who's working and how busy they are, they might be able to give you a few tips, but, it's really, it's not that difficult. The difficult part is to get really good wine. You should experiment with it. Have some fun. May end up making a wine that you fall in love with. You may end up making something that's not that great, and you've got the equipment, and you are set to do it in future years too. Again, it's a pretty small gamble. If you're getting 5 gallons of, $5 fruit, $6 fruit, let's say, some might be $7, that's $35 worth of juice. And you have equipment that you could use in the future that, is probably the rest of the stuff might cost you $60. I don't know how much a glass carboy costs if you get one new. Sometimes the home winemakers, the members have carboys. So one recently did. They were selling, and I don't recall the price on them, but you can get used ones through the home winemakers in many cases, and lots of advice and assistance. It's a great group of people. They meet every other month. Of course, they've been meeting virtually because of the coronavirus, and they are more than willing to help. And when you screw things up, they already probably made those same mistakes at some point. You don't have to feel badly that your wine may not be what you wanted it to be, but they can help you figure out what went wrong. You can go online, you can learn a lot about winemaking, but when it comes down to it, sometimes you just need another winemaker to taste it, to tell you what might have gone wrong, or sometimes it can be fixed. And that's where the home winemakers really are super helpful. And I would guess, even with the virtual meetings, if you had some wine or juice that you were perplexed by, you could probably find a member where you could leave them a mason jar of it to try, and they could give you the feedback. And they share equipment and things too. So a great group of people. And it's a big group. There's, I think, maybe 100 members, somewhere in that range, of the Rochester Home Winemakers. And again, a 5-gallon carboy does not take up much room. You could do a white and a red, and experiment with it. Then you suddenly discover all kinds of details about winemaking that maybe you'd heard described. You go on a cellar tour and they tell you about cold stabilization, and you can't really imagine what that is or why you would do it, or it's just another one of those terms. But if you want a semi-dry wine, you're going to have to stop the fermentation. That's basically the issue, or it'll ferment to complete dryness. So the wineries have, some of them have tanks with jackets around them, metal jackets, which allows, they can basically put, that was like a glycol solution that goes through them, and they can cool the wine down very quickly with that, and stop the yeast from fermenting. You can do it. You get a cold day or a couple of cold days in October, November, and you want to stop the fermentation, you bring the carboy outside. Of course, a 5-gallon carboy filled is heavy, but you can also put it in an ice bath or something to stop that fermentation, and or at least slow it down. So it's a way of learning about wine to make your own. And I've never have. At some point, I think I will, but I haven't up to this point. But I'm sort of convincing myself with this right now that maybe I should. Experiment with making my own wine. If you have comments, questions, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. And one other note from Gene's Glenora Gazette, you get some sort of behind-the-scenes information, and he says, interesting opportunity. This last week we received an email solicitation inviting us to enter a competition whereby the 50 best of a particular wine would be chosen. The entry fee, $250. After giving this opportunity some careful consideration, about 5 seconds, we declined. Lo and behold, another email arrives on Friday wondering why we have not entered. It says, wine competitions are great money makers. At least there's some benefit for someone. On the other hand, if only 49 wines are entered at that price, the odds are of being in the top 50 are very good. And for any of the competitions, there are entry fees. There are lots of competitions, hundreds. Some of them are very well known, and some of them are, someone's concocted an idea to raise some money for themselves or for charity or whatever. So it's difficult to establish a reputation for a really good competition. But I think entry fees are more in the $50 range for many competitions. This $250 entry fee sounds high. But I don't know. I don't enter wines in competitions, so I don't really know how much it is. But you can see how, if you wanted to enter 6 wines at $250 a piece, and generally when you enter a wine in a competition, you have to provide several bottles, at least 2, sometimes 3 bottles, probably in case one of the wines is corked, they'll open us the second one, or the third one, I guess. And Camp Good Days and Special Times, when they do their Finger Lakes International Wine Competition, they, through silent auction off those extra bottles that weren't opened, basically donated by the winery. And so, if you have say the $50 entry fee, and you enter four wines. That's $200 plus. You can't sell those wines, and you're sending them, you know, three of each times four is a full case, a couple hundred dollars worth of wine. You got to fill out the paperwork. That's just one competition, and hundreds of dollars. You know, that's probably $500 to enter four wines, and that's probably a minimum. I think the entry fees, I don't think they go much below $50 per wine. But you want to enter your Cabernet and your Riesling, maybe your Chardonnay, maybe your Saval, maybe a sparkling wine, and you know, how many of these competitions can you enter? And they're shipping. You got to ship the wine. Yeah, that's going to be probably at least $35 or $40 for a full case. Some wineries, and Dr. Frank is one that has entered in many competitions, I think those were crucial in establishing our region and getting the name of the Finger Lakes out there. And you know, they invested in those competitions, and a number of other wineries also have. And you know, at least maybe more so 15 years ago, that helped to bring recognition to the area. It helped to bring legitimacy. It helped judges around the country and around the world, because some of these competitions were in France, some in Australia, most here in the United States. But it helped those judges be exposed to Finger Lakes wines. Finger Lakes have won lots of competitions. Best white wine, best dessert wine. Casa Larga won that in London in 2008. Those competitions maybe are less important now, unless you're a new winery getting established and you want to benchmark what you're doing. You know, that's one of the things. You know, if you trust the judges, and not all competitions have the best judges. It's how hard do they work to get the best judges, and you know, how well do they treat those judges? That's something the Finger Lakes International Wine Competition has done really well over the years, and it helps to raise money for the Camp Good Days and Special Times. They've really worked really hard in establishing that competition to take care of the judges, so those judges want to come back every year. And so if you have good judges, you know, wineries, a new winery maybe in particular, might send their wines just to see if, you know, how they stack up, and you know, they don't have to release the results. If they don't get any medals, they don't have to tell anyone they enter the wines. It's pretty low risk, other than the you know, the dollar value of the wine and the entry fees. So you know, wineries can use those competitions to get a sense for how they're doing against the compared to the wine world. Some competitions are just New York State. Some of them are just the United States. Some of them, there's one at least that's just the New World, and some of them worldwide. Some of them very limited to specific varieties. I know John McGregor entered their Saporavi, Black Russian, in a competition in the former Soviet Republic of Georgia, where Saporavi is king, and brought back at least one medal. They did very well there, in the home of Saporavi. So it's one of those things. You see, you go into a tasting room, you see a gold medal on a bottle, you know, that, or silver, or a bronze medal, you know, what does that mean? And you know, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to like the wine, because the judges are, you know, they're trying to be unbiased. They're trying to, you know, sort of judge that wine on the worldwide scale of Riesling or Cabernet or whatever it is. And your tastes may be different. So it doesn't mean you're going to like the wine, but it does mean that it gives it some additional legitimacy. And it's kind of interesting to see which wines have won medals. But I would never go into a tasting room and just taste the medal-winning wines, because there's a decent chance you'll miss the ones that you might like the most. So it's more information. It's not the be-all and end-all for, you know, quality, and certainly doesn't mean that you're going to like it. So it kind of fun to see a little bit behind the scenes, the kinds of solicitations wineries like Glenora get from competitions. So pay attention to the medals, but don't pay too much attention to the medals. And once you start looking at the medals, you'll discover all these competitions you never heard of. There are so many competitions. The New York Wine and Food Classic is where the top wine is given the Governor's Cup, and that is the best-known competition of only New York State wines. And it has been around a long time, very, very legitimate, and I think they always bring in some really good judges for that. It's usually held in August, and the Governor's Cup winner announced soon thereafter. So take a look at the medals and see how your tastes line up with the judges. And, of course, every competition varies because they have different judges. I think most of them probably have panels of judges that evaluate the wines rather than just one judge. The competitions that I've sat in on, probably three or four different organizations, it's generally a panel of three to four judges who are tasting all of the wines in a flight, but not all the wines in the competition. Some of these competitions have several thousand wines, so they might, well, the Finger Lakes International Wine Competition, you know, might have 20 panels of judges, and they split up the wines because a judge can't really taste more than 100 wines in a day. That's a lot of flights. They probably don't usually taste even that many. But your palate just gets tired, fatigued. You can't do them justice if you're, you know, trying to taste many hundreds of wines in a day. That just wouldn't work. So let me know when you find some really delicious wines around the Finger Lakes or Western New York. We just had a Arrowhead at Spring Vineyards with a couple of their wines, or Pinot Noir, which was fabulous, Reserve Pinot Noir, and also their Cool Terroir. Some fantastic red wines in particular, Arrowhead Spring Vineyards. They're near Lockport. And a beautiful time to drive around. This past week, I was in Hammondsport and in Watkins Glen. I was looking for spotted lantern flies, which I mentioned last week. If you don't know what a spotted lantern fly is, please look it up online. Spend 5 minutes, just so in the very unlikely chance that you may see one as you're maybe in Rochester, maybe, you know, at a winery, maybe a when you're walking around your neighborhood or visiting Penn Yan or Geneva or something. But just be aware of what they look like. They're very kind of pretty red when they're flying, and pretty inconspicuous when they're not flying. But it's an insect that will be here from Pennsylvania at some point, and we really need to be on the lookout for it, be proactive in trying to keep it from getting established here, because it is ruining some vineyards and orchards and things in Pennsylvania right now. And it was only introduced in 2014 as the first sighting of it. So that is, you know, just 6 years, and they're getting millions of dollars of damage to some of their agricultural crops, hops, as well as grapes. It's something that we don't want in the Finger Lakes. We want to hold off having it arrive until Cornell and Penn State come up with some controls for it, which they've made some headway, but they really don't have anything commercially available yet. And so just be aware and on the lookout for this spotted lantern fly. It's not a fly. It's a leafhopper. spite of the name. It kind of looks like a moth more than anything when it's flying. But be aware. Right now is when they lay their eggs. This time of the year, late September, October. So ideally, if we do find any, and I haven't found any in my searches, we would be able to kill them before they laid eggs. So email me if you want some details, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back on Saturday with Gardening Restaurants, Discover the Finger Lakes. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy this harvest season. Get out and see the fall colors are stunning. Bristol has their sky rides. This was the weekend for the Naples Grape Festival, which of course is not happening, but lots of grape pies. I just had one from Jenny's just last night. It was delicious. I got that at Gentles Farm Market. Casa Larga usually has Cindy's grape pies, and of course a bunch of others in Naples. Pretty time to go down through that area. So let me know what you find, and you can always email me, michael@saverlife.com. Have a great day. I'll be back next this coming Saturday, 9 a.m. with Naturally Green. Have a great day.